Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Will here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Congratulations to Josh from Ashland City. The final winner in our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League was the first to guess Isaiah Thomas for Joe Rex Road's favorite athlete.
Yeah, and so maybe it was a different Josh, but he had Barry Sanders and went to Isaiah Thomas. He also, on this text line, Dan Fultz, Sue Bird, yeah. Then Isaiah Thomas.
That's right.
Keep firing away until you get it right.
Apparently that was a really tough question that we asked. So congratulations to Josh, the first one to get that figured out. With that in mind,
welcome, Josh.
We welcome in for the second day in a row here to our program, Jared Stillman, host of Stillman & Company, that you can hear each weekday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game from 2 to 6 p.m. Jared, what's going on? How are we doing?
I got to say, it is so pathetic that Joe's favorite player is Isaiah Thomas. Let me just... I heard the end of that segment when I got on, and I'm listening to Joe talk about how he thinks Isaiah Thomas is the best player under 6'5 in the history of the NBA.
Please tell me your take on this.
Look, so in all fairness, what the Pistons won in what, 89 and 90?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so I was born in 89. So not exactly, you know, was my time, obviously, and it was obviously very clearly your time. But I'm going to take Steph Curry.
Yeah,
I'm going to take Steph Curry over Zeke. You know, I think that when all said and done, we'll look at Steph's career and we'll say Steph's better than Zeke. And the thing I can't get over with Isaiah Thomas, anytime somebody comes at me with, you didn't play the game, so you don't know, my answer is always, Isaiah Thomas was one of the best point guards of all time. He was a terrible coach. He was a terrible general manager. He was a terrible broadcaster. So playing and doing our jobs have nothing in common. So I've always said that. And then I would say that, you know, I'll say that Zeke got left off the dream team, so you can't be the best player under 6'5" if you got left off the dream team.
See, everything you said was fine because I think Steph Curry may well, when it's over, it may be hard to argue against that, and that's fine with the non-playing, but dude, shut up about the dream team, please. Don't even bring that up.
I'm saying if Zeke was so great,
you are ripping open a scab.
They would have let Zeke make that call and not Michael make that call, but they let Michael make that call, even though Michael denies that he made that call, when we all know that Michael made that call.
Yeah, no one said Isaiah Thomas is a better player than Michael Jordan. I did not say that. So, just to be clear.
Jared, what did you think of, as you put it, Joe's Bobo piece up at theathletic.com yesterday?
Nice trolling.
With Dave Uppin.
I am so tired of these – like, the thing about the Tennessee, the state of the Vol program, is that it is so much like 3 years ago that I'm almost kind of like tired of it, bored of it. It's like it's all the same. And maybe it's because 3 years ago isn't a long time, but maybe also it's because when you get a little bit older, the years start to kind of come together. It's not like when you're a kid and it's, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade. It's like, you know, wow, 3 years ago. Oh, wow, 2018. That was 3 years ago. And everything that happened 3 years ago, the optimism that followed Jeremy Pruitt, it's the exact same thing that's happening right now. All the same stories are coming out. Old coach, bad. New coach, good. And I'm not saying Joe's lying in his piece, but it just is so...
I didn't say anything.
Just so
I asked questions.
In line. Right. It's just so in line.
Except that...
The old coach, bad, new coach, good. It's the same kind of stuff that allows Jeremy Pruitt to get a contract extension after going 8-4 when nobody, except for me, threw up the stop sign at third base and said, wait a minute, this might be a pretty bad idea. Guy lost to Georgia Southern last year or Georgia State or whichever.
Are you the only one? Oh, nobody but me. No, here we go again with Jared's nobody but me.
Yep.
I'm the only one who asked the question. Oh, I'm the only one who said
you?
It. Oh, nobody
did,
but
did
me,
you
Jared.
Did you criticize the Jeremy Pruitt extension?
Yes, we did.
September?
We did it on this show.
Come on, man. Just please.
I'll be honest with you. I can't even remember if this show was on in September. Everything's just gone together from the last year.
So, Jared, you read like 100 words of this thing. I mean, I don't disagree like with the good coach. Believe me, I'm very sick of it. Okay, I mean, it's, you know, you're this age and you've been through enough of these, and it's always a lot of the themes that carry over. But this was, I mean, there were some coaches in there who didn't say bad things about Pruitt too. You know, I mean, this is a different kind of piece. This is like what high school coaches think. And Heupel, I think, is doing what you're supposed to be doing. Does that mean he's going to win a freaking game because of it? No. But this is a specific high school coach recruiting story. It's not a Bobo story. It's just you trolling me.
No, it's people. It's something that those fans can run with and be like, see? See, no, but, we got a coach now.
Well,
see,
okay, so
see,
okay, so
and it's like it's just
so because
like
fans
so
might react a certain way. That's a Bobo piece.
It's the same over and over and over again. Okay. Here's what's gonna happen. Okay, I'm gonna tell you this right now.
So we think the high school coaches were lying because they're Bobos and let's get the fans excited because it's all about the Vols and let's just. I mean, come on, man.
I'll get back to that in 1 second. I will answer your question in a second, but let me just say this. 3 years from now, this is what's going to happen. Right now, this year, Tennessee is going to be terrible. And I think we can all agree, right?
Yes.
Okay, they're going to be terrible. And then everyone's going to say, hey, you know, Heupel's not getting any of his guys in yet. It's all Pruitt's fault. It's a mess. You know, it'll take time. Next year, they'll be better than they were this year. Fair?
I mean, if they like, if they have quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not better the next year than the fans, whatever. They'll be better than they were this year. And people say, see, yes, he's our guy. He's our guy. Now we should compete in the SEC. Then they'll get railroaded by a South Carolina, a Missouri, a Kentucky, a Vanderbilt. And the fans will turn all over on him again. And they'll fire him when I don't think 3 years is enough time to turn around that program anyways. And then they'll go out and get a new coach. And Joe will talk to the high school coaches. And the high school coaches will say, Josh Heupel, bad. No. New coach, good.
No, see, this is what you just expose yourself for not reading it. Because you know what they said? Butch Jones was great. Oh, great. You didn't read the piece because it's honest opinions about how you recruited. Not if you're a good coach, not what your offense is, not who your quarterback is. How do you handle my school, me, and interpersonal relations? That's what it's about.
Butch is Jones, not the villain anymore.
Oh, okay, so you're saying that the coach who said that is changing his tune? So back then, 3 years ago, you said, oh, I hated Butch. No, it's the same exact freaking thing that happened because he actually talked to the guy and actually knows what he's talking about. Because it's
like
not
a
story
election.
About... What?
It's like a midterm election. Whoever got voted in last is always the next thing that's important at the midterm election.
Right.
Nobody is going at the midterm election saying, well, you know, Jimmy Carter, when he was president, nobody's doing that. So, Butch, the articles that were coming out back then when Pruitt first got hired was Butch, bad.
No.
Pruitt,
right.
Good.
Did you see this, though? I mean, I don't think anybody did this. If you did this exact thing 3 years ago, you would have had the same coach saying, actually, Butch came in on the second day, and he talked to me and sat down in my office, and here's specific information for my specific personal experience. It's not going to change, Jared.
Jeremy Pruitt
it's what
bad.
Happened, Jared.
Would they have said Jeremy Pruitt was bad?
Probably not.
Ah! Hey, old coach, bad.
Right.
New coach,
right.
Good.
But, Jared, that's because it's in the early – like, would a coach have said, I haven't heard much – there was a coach in this thing who said, actually, like, I haven't heard as much from Vanderbilt. I've heard more from Tennessee. So would a coach have said, well, I'd like to hear more from – maybe – but, I mean, you're talking – and that's the problem with the first couple months. I mean, all you can go on is the early indications. So, I mean, look, new coach good, bad, old coach bad, true, but that's not what this is. And we still haven't gotten to your impressions from the Titans practice, so let's just
we'll
move on
right
because
now.
You're clearly – but I'd like you to, next time you want to talk about a Bobo story, read the freaking thing.
Jared Stillman.
I read the first two little coaching blocks, and then I got bored with
Wonderful.
It. And I was like, here you go. Here's a typical old coach bad, new coach good story.
Thanks for your input.
Jared Stillman from Stillman & Company on with us here on Robbie and Rex. All right, so Jared, we talked to you yesterday, a pretty good day for the Titans on Wednesday. Not so much on Thursday. So as you kind of think about the two practices as a whole, as the Titans now look ahead to the game coming up tomorrow against Tampa Bay, what were your big takeaways from the 2 days for the Titans going up against Tampa Bay?
I think my big takeaway was Wednesday's practice, good. Thursday's practice, bad. I mean, it was really bad. I mean, it was so if you look like if and I don't know if the Titans have posted the whole Vrabel interview or not, but the way it basically worked out yesterday was as soon as it was over, the Titans want to get their three press conferences done and then get on the buses and go home. But so they were – and they're allowed to, like, walk through the fields. We have to walk around the fields. So I'm, like, sprinting to get to this press conference where Mike Keith is just standing there by himself. Everybody else is coming up behind me. And Vrabel had a nice little chuckle, and he's like, I could watch this all day. Ha, 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 ha. And then after that, there was no more Mr. Nice Vrabel. Like, he went off to go talk to Brady and Brady's kid for a little bit. And then Simmons went and Saffold went. And they were all typical post-practice press conferences, you know, whatever. Yeah, we're out here trying to get better every day. We're excited, you know, whatever. And then Vrabel comes over. And Paul Kuharsky makes a joke to Vrabel. And he doesn't even, like, look at him. Like, he just keeps walking.
What was the joke? Was it, like, a bad joke?
It was something about Brady and him, and I thought you were going to hug, or I don't know, something like that. I don't know. And so it wasn't anything interesting. It was just some, like, little side comment. So Vrabel's walking, and he's like a robot when Paul says it, like, doesn't even turn his head and acknowledge it. Vrabel just walks up. And I thought practice was terrible before even talking to Vrabel about it being terrible. There have been some practices where I've been out there and been like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of sloppy. It's not great. It's not, and then Vrabel's like, it's awful. I'm like, okay, yeah, it must have been bad. This one, I was like, oh, my God, this was bad. And I didn't even watch the offensive side of practice. So all I saw was defense. And Vrabel was on the offensive field. And Vrabel comes up, and I asked the first question. I just go, Coach, how would you compare this practice to yesterday's? Knowing that yesterday's practice was good and this practice was bad. And Vrabel literally is like, I think it sucked. And I'm just like... Okay, why do you say that? He's like, well, I just don't think we got any first downs. I don't think we moved the ball. I don't think we blocked anybody. I don't think we did anything. And I didn't see what happened on the defensive field, but it sounds like that was the same. So, you know, we'll have to go look at the tape. But, I mean, like, Vrabel was legitimately upset like they had lost a game on the road to Houston. Like, that was the vibe that I got from Vrabel yesterday at practice. And that's so to do what Joe did with his article, those are his words, not mine. And I would echo that thought. I mean, I was bothered by it because the fans, when I said the Titans got their rear end spanked on Twitter, a bunch of people said, well, it's only one practice. And yesterday the text line said it's only one practice. And I'm okay with that line of thinking that it's only one practice. But if you are going to hold your team to an elite standard, which when most people say the trade for Julio Jones, they're expecting Super Bowl. When you are going to hold your team to that kind of standard, then a bad practice is against the Buccaneers, one of the two biggest practices of the training camp. I mean, that is a cause for concern to me that the Titans had a great practice yesterday and turned around knowing that Tampa Bay wasn't happy with their practice because Arians wasn't happy, Brady wasn't happy. You know you're going to get a much better performance out of Tampa Bay, and the Titans didn't really rise to the occasion. And if you're an elite team in the NFL, you get everybody's best shot almost every week. And so that, I think, kind of bothered me. You know, Roger Saffold said after practice yesterday that they were like two games the way he viewed them. Well, if they're two games, they won one, they won the other, you're 8-8, 9-8, 8-9, whatever you want to call it nowadays. And to me, that's not the standard in which we are applying to the Titans this year. That's not what they are.
Yeah, I hear you. Also, I watched the Bucs last year lose 38-3 to the Saints on November 8th. And they won the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes. It's possible to lose games.
Yes. But it's possible to have a bad day, even well into a season.
My guess is Tampa Bay Radio, the next day after they got embarrassed on Sunday Night Football, wasn't sitting there saying, well, it's okay. It's only one game. We'll just go win the Super Bowl.
That's true. But they also probably weren't like spending tons of time talking about one practice here or there, right? Ever?
Well, I mean, look, if I'm going to go to the practice, I'm going to report on it. I'm not going to go to the practice, waste my time, and then be like, oh, yeah, it's my practice.
Well,
I can't do that.
I agree. That's fine. So take the two practices and everything you saw and tell me if you have any different impression at all about what this team is or could be or is going.
I mean, how can you do that, though, when they don't practice the players on offense and they don't give you any context surrounding why guys are out or when they're coming back or what the severity of their situation is? TD brought this up yesterday, and that is he thinks Vrabel does a disservice to the players by not kind of giving context around these injuries, because it is a completely different story, is it not? If Ben Jones and Aaron Brewer are out for 6 months, and now Daniel Munyer, who can't snap, has to play center for the Titans, that automatically changes everything. If Ben Jones is out for 3 more days and comes back to practice, he'll be ready to go for Arizona. Now I'm not all that worried about it, but Vrabel doesn't do that. And I do think that TD is right that on some level, maybe not a level that would move the needle for Mike Vrabel, but on some level, I do think it hurts the players a little bit that he doesn't give any insight or any context to kind of when guys could come back or what expectations are, externally, because then the fans start to get concerned. Like, I can't tell you how to judge the Titans. They don't have an offense right now. I mean, they got Mekhi Sargent at running back. They got Daniel Munyer at center. They got Chester Rogers. That's not an offense in the NFL. I'm watching the 2-minute drills, and Brady's lined up in the shotgun. He's got Giovanni Bernard next to him, and he's got Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans and Gronk. And then I watch Tannehill in the same 2-minute drive, and he's got Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. No offense, Joe. He's got Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Chester Rogers, and Fred Brown. You can't compete in the NFL with that.
Jared Stillman.
So there's just really – so basically there's no conclusions. No, I mean, I agree with everything you said, including about Vrabel. He thinks he's helping them, but I think if someone's not going on IR,
yeah,
then that – right? I mean, that's basically all you have to go on. Well, they're not on IR, so it can't be that long, but he's not going to change.
One thing that TD and I kind of got into it about yesterday was the parallels between Clowney and Julio Jones – are so out of this world. I mean, they are so parallel from one year to the next. And again, they're different players. And the difference between Clowney and Julio, in my opinion, is Julio is a legitimate superstar, and Clowney never was. But, everybody views this guy as the savior. You know, that this guy's going to come in, and he's going to, and it's the same with Julio. And then Clowney didn't practice, didn't have a training camp last year, and they said, well, he'll be fine. He's been working out. He knows the system. He'll be fine. And then they start the season, and hands are on hips, and he's kind of ineffective. And then we were worried about injury history, and he gets hurt. And with Julio, at his age, we were worried when they made the trade about injury history, and Julio's been hurt, and he hasn't practiced. And the expectations are not going to get tempered for Julio Jones or for this offense and what they're supposed to do with Julio Jones. But if he doesn't practice at all, how can we expect him and Ryan Tannehill to be ready to go week one? And again, I mean, it's like Caleb Farley yesterday was just getting embarrassed by Mike Evans. I had three different times where I literally put the word goose next to Farley and Evans, whether it was 1-on-1, 7-on-7, or 11-on-11. And it's one thing to say, well, you know, Farley's a rookie and he hasn't played much. Well, week one is DeAndre Hopkins, and week two is DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So you better figure it out if you're going to play. And that's kind of where I am with the Titans right now is Vrabel's not going to say anything about it, but I mean, if you're going to compete at the level that we are expecting them to compete at, I think that there are some concerns there.
Jared Stillman from Stillman & Company has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. You can check him out every weekday starting at 2 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you, Robbie. Though I will say this. I do think they know that I come on at 2 o'clock.
I think so, too. Probably so.
Okay. The world just knows.
Just double checking.
Thanks, Joseph, Jared. Take care.
Appreciate
it. Bye, Jared.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Jared had to say there. Get some of your thoughts as well. And there are many on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Thanks to Jared Stillman for joining us in the last segment. Nathan from Lawrenceburg on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This segment between Rex Road and Stillman should have been pay-per-view content.
Yes, Nathan. That's a good point. Well, maybe if OnlyFans was pivoting to sports discussion. I'll be Rex in effect, 69, 69, 69.
You and Stillman? Yeah, that'd be great.
Just talk sports.
That's right.
How many people know what OnlyFans is?
I don't know. You listen to our show today. It's come up now three times.
That's right. This is the OnlyFans show.
That's right.
We had Timothy Busby show a week ago. This is the OnlyFans show.
Sean texting in, I'll hand over my yearly salary if you make Jared a mainstay on the show. Rex Toad and that little dude are gold. I don't know if the Rex Toad was intentional in there, but that was awesome.
But maybe it was.
It could have been. Could have been.
It's not very nice.
Yeah.
Should we have Jared on? Jared on as a weekly scream at Jared segment?
Do you think your blood pressure could handle that?
Well, I
enjoyed it.
I'm fine with Jared. So every once in a while, he knows how to troll me. He knows how to dig in there with the Bobo stuff.
Keith texting in, Stillman on Monday at 2 p.m., quote, the Titans will win the Super Bowl. Yeah, maybe so. I got another text that says, I just want to know what kind of coffee Jared drinks in the morning. He's very energetic.
I don't know. Is Jared a coffee guy?
I don't know.
I think he's just high on life.
Doing some pull-ups?
He's probably not like me, drinking 90 ounces of coffee every show.
Sean says it was intentional, calling you Rex Toad. And there you go.
All right.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you.
I've heard many things. I've heard Sex Toad.
Yep.
That's your fantasy team name.
Yeah, could be. Maybe that's the name you'll have on there.
So what do you think of his – I don't even know where to go. I actually do – I think it's – first of all, like the whole thing with Julio and Clowney, like I just – that's just way – come on. I mean, Clowney showed up game week.
He did.
And, again, you know, Julio has been here, actually participated in the spring. So it's not the same. I'm not saying – I have no idea how it's going to work out. But, I mean, at least Jared mentioned that there was also a difference in accomplishment with both guys. And Clowney was coming in to try to save a terrible part of the team or a very deficient part of the team. You know, Julio Jones is not here as the savior. He's here as, like, what could be the final piece of a ridiculous offense.
Well, he is here as the piece that maybe puts you over the top, though.
Right. But, you know, Clowney was like, my gosh, they need pass rush. They just signed Vic Beasley, who Stillman thought was going to be really good. So they signed Clowney. Stillman doesn't mention that part about all the Vic Beasley is. Oh, that you've already addressed pass rush. But it's an interesting point, and I agree with him, and he and apparently TD, on the Vrabel injury, lack of discussion. I actually asked Vrabel about this in an interview in his office his first year, like, why don't you tell us anything? And it was a big departure from Malarkey. To me, it was like, this is the NFL way. Tell us exactly what's going on. And he's like, basically, I don't like putting timelines on guys. Which I get, like, I don't want there to be an expectation, and then all of a sudden someone takes a week later, and then people are like, what's wrong with this guy? That's a very player's coach mentality. And I agree, I get it, but I do think that every once in a while, just a little bit of, I don't think this is too serious, or some kind of a little bit of an indication right. would not be a bad thing.
Well, you one, don't have to fans, tell me that yeah. he's going to be out for, he's going to be out 17 days.
Or even specify the injury. Yeah. But I mean, I agree. Now, I mean, really, it is like it's like if IR is involved, then you know. If not, it could still be weeks. But it's not IR.
Yeah,
none of these guys are on IR, so there's what you've got to go on. I agree that a little bit more information at times would be helpful, and maybe TD's right. Maybe, you know, maybe it would be good for the player.
You could take the Colts approach.
Yeah,
5 to 12 weeks.
Yeah, just name whatever timeline you want.
That's right. I mean, he laughed about that. He's like, well, you got a good chance of being right.
So well, just take that approach.
We'll take that.
5 to 12 weeks.
We'll take a 7 week span of timeline. It's better than
he'll
nothing.
He'll be out 1 to 7 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. He'll be out 1 to 78 days.
Somewhere in that span. But at least you know at that point.
Yeah. Something different.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans when we come back. I have more of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lots of love for Rex Rhodes Fantasy Football names coming through as well on our streaming platforms.
Very important. Fred O'Banion, that's my Titans Media League that I dominate name. Got to have something different.
Well, let me just tell you, these are different that they come up with. So
are they only fans worthy?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Great.
They are. We'll continue that discussion, or hopefully a different discussion than that, when we come back. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And boxing legend Manny Pacquiao back in the ring this Saturday for the first time in 2 years. And FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new users exclusive 30-1 odds on either fighter to win when he takes on Jordanus Ugas. That's right. Now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot because you can win $150 on a $5 bet. And FanDuel, they're always hooking you up. They've got exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, and so much more. And that's why they're America's number one sportsbook. I like Manny Pacquiao in this fight. I've gone against Pacquiao before. It's not gone overly well. I'll be going with Pacquiao in this fight. So don't miss out on your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet when Pacquiao returns to the ring against Jordanus Ugas. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. That promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Odds boost available for new users only. Must wager on designated boost market. A $10 first deposit required. Max bonus of $150. Risk-free bet refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See full terms for both offers at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line. line at 1-800-889-9789. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. This week's deal is from Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland is a fun new concept by Chef Sean Brock designed to spread joy through his love for cheeseburgers, shakes, fries, fried chicken, and buttermilk biscuits. Get half off of a $25 gift card now at thegamenashville.com while they last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, can I read Vincent and Dixon?
Do whatever you want. Is that on the text line?
It's on the text line.
WilsonCountyHyundai.com?
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yes, we know Jared comes on it too. That's when I turn on SpongeBob and I don't even have kids. Boom. Oh, zing. Oh, my goodness, Vincent. It could be a Rex Road burner or a Sex Toad burner.
Could be.
There's some really interesting name choices here, some of which won't be read on the air.
That is, yes, that is correct. Randy texting in, if the Titans have 10 to 12 days during that two-week break between the Chicago game and the first regular season game, do you believe they'll get enough work done, timing down, working together, etc., to be ready for their first game?
Yeah, look, I mean, how much, first of all, how much preseason game work was going to happen if everybody was together?
Not a ton.
Now, these two practices are useful.
Practice work in the preseason would take place,
right? But that's what that's what he's talking about. I mean, that's still what it comes down to. It comes down to the reps. Even reps against air are valuable, are useful. So I hear what Jared and many others are saying about the concern at this point with Julio not being out there and AJ in particular. But Julio is the big thing because he's the new guy. Like I said, I've been saying this all week. I think next week, if he can get in there a little bit, it's good. Then they have the Bears game, and then then it's just practice until the opener. Even if it's not next week, but it's before like just game week, I think you can get a lot of good work done. Is that enough? Is there a chance that they're going to be all clunky and out of sorts in the opener? Sure. But if Julio played the entire preseason and played three quarters Saturday night and was in both of these practices, they could also be clunky and out of sorts in the opener. I think as long as it's not like down to the absolute wire, you go into game week and you're just starting to work these guys together, I think they've got a chance to be fine. In reality, there's nothing like an actual game. And it might take four or five of them for Tannehill and Julio to really have a good connection, or seven or eight. Who knows? I mean, that's you build some things in those situations, like you can't elsewhere. But it's also, again, specific matchup, specific game plan, specific routes, all these things. It's just it's important that quarterbacks and receivers work together.
It is, but I'm much less concerned about that part of it right now than I am the offensive line. Like, the offensive line's got to get healthy, because if the offensive line's not healthy, it's going to be difficult for Derrick Henry to run the ball. It's going to be difficult to get good enough protection for Tannehill and Julio's connection to matter anyway. Like, the offensive line right now is in a tough spot, and they've got to find a way to get healthy. Now, look, I've seen the videos, seen Taylor Lewan moving out there. He's probably going to be fine. He's probably going to be ready to go by the time the season comes around. So you feel good about Lewan. Nate Davis has been around a little bit, so I'm hopeful that's not too serious. We've not seen Ben Jones in a long time now, and as we've figured out, snapping the ball without Ben Jones can be a little bit of an adventure for this team. So that's much more of a big deal to me right now is the offensive line. Derrick Henry's going to be fine. I'm not worried about him practicing. I would like to see Julio on the field getting more work, and I think it's important that he does at some point. But offensive line is way more of a concern to me right now than those two.
Yeah. Well, it's like a different kind of concern. Offensive line is like, how hurt are they?
Right.
With Ben Jones, because as you said, I could have missed it, but I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in a while. And so that he seems to be potentially the most serious one. Now, the good thing about the offensive line is from a chemistry standpoint, the from right guard to left tackle – there's a lot of continuity, chemistry built up over time. So I think those guys could be put together in pretty short order and execute. We still don't know about right tackle, exactly how that's going to look. That's a number of different possibilities there. So from that perspective, if you get them back, you don't need a month to get it working. But, yeah, when will you get them back? Especially Ben Jones. And if it's not going to be soon – Is Aaron Brewer going to be back soon? Because it would not be good for this team to be starting with Daniel Munier.
It would not.
At any point.
No. And not even throwing the ball to Aaron Brewer like they did once last year. You just needed to snap the ball.
But you could do that.
You could. That's the thing. You've lost Dennis Kelly now. Who's your – I guess it's Kendall Lamb if he's healthy. Now, Taylor Lewan has scored a touchdown. Yeah.
I mean, Lewan could probably beat a linebacker in a, you know, who's trying to cover him.
Well, Lewan's was, you know, there was some yak involved. It was a screen to Lewan. Right. He just took off running.
Was that against the Packers?
It may have been. I need to go back
and
look.
Your beloved Packers?
It may have been.
Were you in the stadium that day?
I was outside the stadium that day.
Okay. The day that your fellow members of Cheesehead Nation were yelling at an 8-year-old yes. about his Lions jersey.
I mean, the game was over before most people sat down in that game.
Yeah, that got out of hand. Mariota was, he was good that day.
DeMarco Murray. It was against the Colts where Taylor Lewan caught a touchdown pass at home.
What year?
2016.
Okay. They lost that game, but yes.
Mariota was the quarterback.
Andrew Luck came in here, so yes, they lost that game.
I would say so. Dennis texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I would be more concerned if the big three were out there possibly getting seriously injured in a meaningless practice. They'll be fine. I'm always scared of preseason injuries. And to Dennis's point, the preseason injuries starting to rack up a little bit. Carl Lawson yesterday out for the season with a ruptured Achilles that he suffered with the Jets at practice against the Packers yesterday. So, I mean, he was a guy we talked about, should the Titans be interested in. I think he had a 3-year, $45 million contract he signed with the Jets, and now before he ever takes a snap for him, ruptured Achilles out for the year.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah.
Painful to be a Jets fan.
Well, there is that, too.
Yeah. Well, you have a top 100 player on offense.
You do.
But, yeah.
I did.
You have Jets fans? Jets fandom in your family, friend group?
My fifth grade teacher was, and he would just scream JETS, 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 every time, and the whole class would chant.
Was it Fireman Ed? Remember that guy, Fireman Ed, at the Jets games? He's leading all the chants.
Oh yeah. Mr. Who?
Selusniak. Mr. C.
Mr. Selusniak. Mr. C.
The whole class. He'd be like, JETS, 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 Jets. Okay, now let's do math.
All right, let's
get him fired up.
Let's do some math.
Nice.
It's good stuff. Apparently, it's not been going all that well for the Jets at the joint practices. Can't say that's a huge surprise.
So the devastating loss of the Texans in the preseason has not affected the Packers.
It does not appear to have affected the Packers.
They've moved on.
At this point, we'll see if the Titans can move on. So, number one thing you're looking for the Titans against Tampa Bay coming up this weekend. Number one. You had to pick one thing.
Well, I'm looking to see if number three is out there. I mean, look, I'm flying down there today, so I just found out my flight's delayed too, so that's exciting.
That's good.
So I'd like to see some players who could really have an impact on the 2021 season on the field.
Number three is Caleb Farley, by the way.
Yeah, number three, Caleb Farley. I think I don't know if he's going to be available, if they're going to play him or not. I don't know if they feel like he's ready. At some point, though, it looks like he's close to moving on from doing all the things other than tackling and then moving to that. That's you draft him to be a football player. And I think he's got the physical tools, the skill set, all that, the attitude to help your team this year. I don't know what that would look like, but to be able to add a cornerback with that potential impact could really help this defense. So I'm looking to see if he'll be out there. And if he's not, then I don't know what number two would be. I mean, there's a few things that – I mean, Des Fitzpatrick, I think, of definitely player of interest. I think Dylan Raidens, again, is a player of interest. Some of these rookies, see if they can – and as you said earlier, Rashad Weaver, can he stat games like that and kind of just show that he's got a real chance to be the third guy there at outside linebacker?
Can anyone emerge at safety? That's what I'm looking at. Obviously, I mean, you feel good about Byard and Hookard. But can anybody emerge after them? Because that has been a problem. I mean, injuries have kind of gone through the safety position. They've made, what, like five signings now at the safety position? Can anybody work through that and emerge as a viable option behind those two?
And now that you mention it, I need to familiarize myself with like what number some of all these people are.
Yeah. It's hard to keep
no
up
idea.
With as many people that are running in and out there.
But as TD said earlier, I mean, Matias Farley is the latest injury there.
Yep.
So, you know, it's and Cruikshank is just – he just can't stay healthy. I mean, at some point it's like, man, it's tough. I mean, he's an important guy in special teams. I think he's not a bad player, you know, as a, like he would be a third safety candidate. But, man, if you are
be on
hurt,
the field.
Yeah, so you got – but that's an interesting point. Will 24 get out there and get a look at safety? That's Elijah Molden, the rookie. I mean, I think that's a lot to put on a rookie's plate when you're trying to work him in the slot and get him ready. But maybe. Bradley McDougal's 30. Clayton Gethers is 25. Jamal Carter's 32. So there you go.
There you go.
The new
now you're ready to go for tomorrow at the safety position. And we'll see whether or not Logan Woodside can continue to hold off Matt Barkley at the backup quarterback position as well. So still going to be some intrigue tomorrow in the Titans and the Buccaneers down in Tampa Bay where Joe Rexrode will be. When we come back, we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also, some news yesterday in the NHL that may potentially affect the location of one franchise now in the Central Division. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rexrode, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Working for the weekend. Happy National Radio Day, as Michelle Konezovic points out. Michelle, this is a big deal. National Radio today. Or National Radio Day today.
You know,
it's always something.
What better way to celebrate than people tune in, listen? It's a big holiday for us, guys.
That's right. I had no idea.
It's a big deal.
Some days are national multiple things days, right?
Like I'm sure that it's national something else day, too.
Like
I want to be, like, who comes up with this? Who
national, is like, Candied Pistachio Day.
Who's
and
on the
National
board?
Radio Day.
Who's on the board for figuring these things out?
That'd be an awesome job.
Just
figure out what each day is, National fill-in-the-blank day.
Yeah. Well, every day on Twitter, it's National, like, Boyfriend Day, Girlfriend. Like, you see these hashtags all the time. So I saw it this morning, and I was like, there's no way. And then I looked it up, and it was, like, August 20th. And I was like, I have to tell you guys, because what are we doing?
Right. Very exciting. Well, you know, that you bring up one of the clear indicators of society eroding is the invention of Sweetest Day. That's just what is that, like in October, right?
Yeah.
Sweetest Day.
Come on. What is it?
Sweetest. It's like basically like a fall Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Well, maybe I'm
just keep it that
this
way.
This is another like me being an old person moment, but Sweetest Day. You familiar with it?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it. Yeah.
It's like, no.
Leave Valentine's Day alone.
Day.
Yeah. National Pancake Day coming up on March 1st, 2022. Looking forward to that.
Okay. That's a good one.
That's right. Joey from Gallatin texting in, Happy National Radio Day, y'all. Thank you for what you do. We appreciate you,
thank
Joey.
Thank you, Joey.
Absolutely.
Someone else on the text line said that my flight being delayed is karma for us having Jared on. That's not very nice. Who was that?
It's not very nice.
Let me give you proper credit for this. Yeah, you didn't give a name.
It's okay.
Give me your name. I want to shame you.
I want to shame you. Joe, some interesting news yesterday in the National Hockey League. Glendale, the city of Glendale in Arizona, where the Arizona Coyotes play at Gila River Arena, which I used to pronounce Gila River Arena. Apparently it's Gila River Arena.
I had no idea.
So there you go. They are not renewing their lease with the Arizona Coyotes after this upcoming season. So this season at Gila River Arena will be the last season there for the Arizona Coyotes. And that's led to a lot of speculation about what does the future of that team look like. Now, remember, Arizona is actually going to be in the Predators division this year. They are coming over to the Central with Seattle coming into the Pacific this year in the NHL. So Arizona now a member of the Central Division. What's going to happen with this team? Now, their CEO and their ownership group has come out, and I say their ownership group, which is really not really anybody, but their CEO and president have come out with a statement basically saying, you know, we're committed to hockey in Arizona, and we're looking to find a viable solution in Arizona. But unless it's downtown where the Suns play, and I don't know what the negotiations would look like there and whether or not that would work, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here because the wheels have already started turning in Canada. There's a lot of people in Canada saying, you know what, Quebec City sure could use a team. Why don't you bring them up? I don't know that that would be the case. I think a place that could make some sense that is a huge market that also would not affect the way the divisions are aligned right now would be Houston if they have to move. And Houston does not have an NHL team, and it's one of the biggest markets in the country. And it lines up with how the divisions go right now. But
I don't know that the Arizona Coyotes are going to be on the move. Maybe they won't be, but this is not very good news for that team.
No, it's not. It's terrible news for hockey fans who live there.
Yeah.
The new Nordiques, possibly. Whatever happened to, like, Hamilton, Ontario?
It's a bad thing to bring up around here.
Oh, I know. But, like, why has that never come up again?
Probably because of that process. I don't know. I mean,
it's in Ontario.
I mean, it is in Ontario, but that's my thing. Like, who are you bringing into Ontario? I mean, you've got
you got a lot going on there.
And you've got Toronto there. Who are you bringing in that's going to compete with those?
I like the Houston idea. Has there been any sort of, you know, like expressed interest in Houston about hockey?
Not that I've heard. But it just, from a simple math standpoint, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Hamilton, Ontario has got 579,000 people in their town, which, I mean, that's a big town. But
yeah.
A little bit different than Houston.
The entire country is already obsessed with the Leafs.
Right, exactly.
Let alone the people who live in Ontario.
Yeah. Christopher on Periscope says, but does Houston want a hockey team?
Right, that's my question.
I don't know.
But to your point, I mean.
But you can't tell me there's not enough people in Houston where.
That it could work.
It could work.
I mean, it has worked in Dallas.
Yeah.
Maybe Indianapolis.
Maybe.
No?
I don't know.
Play with the Pacers
play? It's really weird in the Midwest. Like, having lived there a lot of my life, for whatever reason, the state of Indiana, like, you know, they're surrounded. You got Michigan loves hockey. Illinois loves hockey. Ohio. But, like, Indiana, like, tries to pretend it doesn't exist.
That's Kentucky, too.
It's all the way.
Well, I mean, they don't have any professional sports. Oh, that's right.
You're Midwestern state of Kentucky.
Because in New York, obviously hockey's huge, and then I went to Kentucky. It's like a foreign concept, but then hockey's big here. Yeah. But we have the Preds, so obviously.
Which has been like a driving force for sure. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I don't know. Indy? I mean, they've got NBA. I mean, it's somewhat comparable to us market wise.
I don't know if it'd work there.
I don't know if it would either. I like Houston. I mean, Texas is big enough for everything to happen in Texas.
Well, again, I'm not saying that all is lost with the Arizona
Coyotes.
Yeah,
it's not over. Yeah, we're already
moving them off. But, I mean, look, that's what people were talking about yesterday, is if it can't work in Arizona, where are you going to go? Now, this would – fortunately, if you're the Predators, if this happens, there's no expansion draft that comes along with this, so you don't have to worry about that part of it. It's just moving a team. That's all it is. No expansion draft.
Or is that unfortunately?
Well,
like, please bring us another expansion draft. We've got some salaries we want to try again to unload.
Well, Donovan from Wisconsin texting in. Wisconsin wants a team. They do. Think Milwaukee? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wisconsin makes sense for having a team. Why not?
You got the Wild there. You got the Blackhawks there. I mean, look, I'd love to see it. I don't know if that's on the NHL's radar.
I mean, in that part of the country, each state to me would be. I feel like Wisconsin would embrace an NHL team.
Yeah,
I mean, they like they like their Admirals.
They do. Big Admirals fans up there in Milwaukee.
You know,
that's right. We'll see what happens on that front with the Arizona Coyotes. That does it for us here today. I will be on vacation next week, so Trevor X Road. Hope you have fun next week.
How many days at Disney are you about to spend?
Five.
Five in a row.
Yep.
All right.
One of them's got Universal in there, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Put some pics on Twitter for us.
I will do that.
Bring back some Mickey ears.
I'll do that as well. We'll be back on Monday. Joe will be back on Monday. Darren Dock and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game.